Easter, so happy late Easter, because we didn't catch you guys on Easter. But you guys listening to Author Talk with me, Amy, Russell, and Sandy's back today. Yay. Oh my goodness, you guys. So I don't have an eventful weekend. We can talk about it, but it wasn't eventful by any means. We went to church yesterday. I'll show my photo that I have because I'm ready today, Russell, of my family at Easter service. And it was the first time the girls kind of got to sit in with us in color. But here's the one funny story I have of this weekend. And Russell, you're going to thoroughly enjoy it. Okay. So my oldest, the one sitting next to me in that photo, had the biggest meltdown before we were going to church, where me and Josh were just like, I had to move my seat all the way up in the car. I was hugging the steering wheel because she was kicking and screaming. She wanted to wear pants with her dress. It's a comfort for hers. And I pushed her outside her comfort zone by not letting her do that. And I was the most hated mother on this day. And I was totally okay with it. But she screamed for like an hour on the way, like to church, getting ready for church, everything. I mean, tears, meltdown, everything. And me and Josh just looked at each other and started laughing. One, because I was about to lose my shit. I'm not even going to lie with you guys. I have a really short fuse and I was about to lose it. But she was kicking my chair and I moved my chair all the way up where I was hugging the steering wheel. And then I told her and I said, do you want to get a hot chocolate afterwards? Dutch Bros is open. She loves Dutch Bros. I was trying to just mellow out the situation. And she screamed. She's like, no, I want to turn around and get my pants. And I just couldn't help it.
She's like her mama. No hot chocolate.
I know. I was like, oh my God, you are so headstrong. You are headstrong and I'm proud, but not in this moment, but I am a proud parent. No one will talk you out of something when you feel like you are right. And I was so proud. So when she got out of the car and she was still kind of, you know, pissy is the best way to word it. I was like, well, let's go see if they have some pants inside. I don't know if they do, but let's just go and see, right? I'm trying to diffuse this situation that's happened. And she was like, okay, mom, but if they don't have pants inside, I'm getting back in the car and you're taking me home to get pants. Like, demanding all this stuff. I said, well, maybe they have hot chocolates and cookies. Let's go see, right? Let's figure our way out. Let's maneuver through this. Well, she picked up the coloring pages and stuff to color during the service, but she made sure, because she eventually calmed down, she made sure to keep telling me, mom, I really want my pants. I would like some pants on the whole time. She did calm down. I did get her the hot chocolate. She did get to go home afterwards and change. But that was the funniest thing, I guess, that happened. And me and Josh just laughed at each other because we were both just at our ends, not knowing what to do. She was very unhappy, all over pants. And so, oh, I should have got a photo of me hugging the steering wheel on the way to church yesterday.
That was the best weekend story you've told in a month.
It's been a long time since I've had a huge meltdown happen.
That was the best.
It's a good one. That's a good one. For sure. Sandy, you're muted.
You're muted.
It's always a great story when you can tell about a confrontation like that with the kids. Sometimes they win, sometimes you win. It's just, it depends, but it's always a great story.
Can you just imagine, though? She's four. Can you imagine her as a teenager? I mean, I just don't see us getting along for a little while.
No, I see 14 being a challenging time. Maybe even 12.
Oh, probably five. Five's going to be a deucer is what I'm feeling. But, you know. Anyways, what did you guys do this weekend? Tell me what's happening.
Well, we did go to church yesterday. And then, I went to church Saturday night, the service they had, and then yesterday. We spent the day with some friends that we haven't seen for a while, and they have a new pool in, and so we had a big pool party and lots of good food and margaritas, and it was just fun, great time.
Nice. I like it. Russell.
So, this weekend I was a man of many deficiencies.
Okay. Okay.
And the master of none.
You're being honest. Okay.
So I'm a great husband. Okay. I've been married almost 41 years. I'm a great husband. However, there are some things that those people that watch us a lot can imagine, and the two of you know, is I'm just not quite, I'm just not even average when it comes to some of my abilities. And one is nursing my sick wife. I am the worst husband nursing his sick wife you've ever seen.
Oh, no.
And she was sick all weekend. And I swear, and the trouble is, see, so we've been married 41 years, so she knows what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. So even if she says, will you do this for me? And I say, yes, she knows what I'm thinking, which is, why is she bothering me with this? I've got other things to do.
Of course.
And so the least step, misstep, and she like comments on it because she already knows what I'm thinking.
She's got her comment ready.
I don't react always in a perfect way.
Okay.
And so I was not an adequate nurse husband this weekend. I know I wasn't because it was pointed out to me.
You failed. You had failed. And so it felt the need to point out. Okay. Okay.
And even worse is I am not a sufficiently perceptive grandfather. Because when my granddaughters all called excited about Easter and showed me what they got, I seemed to not appreciate. My oldest one showed us this pink purse, which meant that I was supposed to tell her how awesome her new pink purse was. And I said, that's nice. And then started talking. And she did not appreciate my lack of appreciation.
You didn't go on and on about it and tell her how amazing it was and how it compliments her eyes and it was a great choice. And whoo, she needs to go get another one a different color. No? Oh, Russell.
And so I was just not an adequate man this weekend to the measurements of my family. That was my weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a good one.
Your granddaughter. She was so excited.
Right. And we were supposed to be, her grandfather was supposed to be excited too.
Yes, they are. They're supposed to notice those things and just go on and on and on about it until, you know, you can't go on anymore. Oh,
and I'm like, it's just a little plastic purse. Who cares? Right. I didn't say it. I didn't say it, but that's what I was thinking.
You got it, though. I think the course, same thing.
And, of course, my sick wife knew exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Oh, Russell. I think the same things, too, but it's those things matter to them. Oh, goodness. Goodness. Well,
so that was my weekend. I need to thank the people listening to us on our podcast. We're top 10 in America on Independent Book Podcast. We're very humble that people listen to us, and we're very grateful they listen to us. Most people don't listen to us when we do this live on Monday morning. If you want to, you can join our Facebook group, Author Talk, and we have old shows every day because we've done this for so long, haven't we, guys? In fact, you're the old crowd that we started with 8 years ago. The three of us. So it's always nice to have a reunion. And so every day of the year, almost, there we have over the last 8 years done at least one show, and they always pop up, and I always put them on Author Talk. So we have shows every day that you can see, and Amy has redone our Author Talk, so it's on our podcast just like it is here, and it's easy to find. Even I can find it. Amy, where can they find us?
Yes. So you can find us anywhere that you look for a podcast. So Amazon, Apple, Spotify, Google, now YouTube, because Google is morphing with YouTube Music. And so now if you go and look on Google Play or Google in general for a podcast, it'll take you to YouTube Music. We do have a YouTube channel over there anyways, but, Good Pods is another one. Those are the ones that I listen to and look for podcasts, which is why they're on top of my mind, but it's everywhere that you can find a podcast, you can hear us. Like Russell said, we've been doing this for 8 years. This is the OG crowd, except the one thing that's different is usually I'm on the other side of the camera and only show myself every now and then. So you're muted. That's the one thing that's different.
Only the first half of the year.
Yeah.
Then we started conspiring against you very early to trick you into flipping to the other side of the show.
I know. The greatest one.
That was
one.
When we did the show on the 8th floor of your building out by the pool. And oh, my God.
Right. Okay. And our first trick on how to trick Amy to be on the show was to say, I said, Sandy, the beginning of our show is boring, which we know it's boring. Still would be boring. Because when Amy was sick one time, I had to start the show about 4 months ago. It's terrible. And Sandy was like, yes, it's terrible. It's terrible. I said, let's get Amy to start the show every week. And Sandy was like, oh, that's so good. And that was the first dirty trick to get Amy. Second trick was we wanted a special part of the show so she could talk about multimedia or something. Remember that, Amy? That
was the second trick.
Oh, about social media, so she could tell us all about the updates and the latest and greatest. That's right.
You guys conspire.
We plotted against you.
Oh my goodness. The greatest one, though, was at the Houston Writers Guild when you guys went and sat in between my mom and did one live there. And my mom, like, didn't want to be on it, and it's the greatest thing. So whenever that pops up, I love it.
We told jokes about you and her, which really made her uncomfortable.
Oh, it was great.
And Sandy and I just laughed about it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, before we dive into all these things that are going on, a bunch of changes and stuff are happening. There is one thing that I forgot to mention on my weekend that is important. If I don't mention it, Josh will give me crap. So I'm going to mention it because it was my idea. I had found this fundraiser that the local high school does to support them going to URL. And it's called Egg My Yard. And you pay for X amount of eggs. They put candy in them and they come and hide them in your yard. Right, for your kids and stuff like that. So I went home and got 80 eggs, and they came on Friday night, and my children.
That was a great idea, by the way.
Oh,
you guys, it was fabulous. I have a 6-minute video. I will post it in the group of my kids when they got to go out and find all these eggs and everything. I have an entire bowl full of candy, and we're talking the good candy, okay? We're not talking like, you know, just like peddly. It was good, like full-size candies. It was pretty banging. So anyways, I had the opportunity to do that, and it was pretty cool that my small town does things like that and that they came. I didn't have to hide eggs this year because they did it for me, and it was wonderful, and the girls absolutely loved
it. You know how much I would have paid over the years to have somebody come and hide my eggs? That was the part nobody wanted to do. Nobody wanted to go out and hide the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a
good okay. I liked hiding eggs because I would hide them where they couldn't find them.
Exactly. Oh, you would overthink it and make it really hard where only you could find it. I'm the same way, which is why I don't like it. You know, I don't like hiding eggs. But, I mean, we had 80 eggs in the front yard. They came at, like, midnight on Friday night, so Saturday morning, and hid them. So when the girls came, they saw them through the window, and they were just all excited about it. And so I was like, man, I feel like more schools should do that as, like, a fundraiser. You know, because, I mean, it was wonderful, and it was very inexpensive. So
you took them the eggs, and you gave them the eggs. You had them
all. No, they gave me everything.
Okay. Here's what would be funny: to get the wrong address. And I can imagine how funny it would be to pay to have someone egg someone's house that hates that. That's your friend, so you want to torture them.
Yeah,
so
live in fear of that. I live in fear that I did put the wrong address, and I was like, oh man, what if it went to like my neighbors? But you know, that is something I would do though, Russell. I would, if they had it at my family's house, I would have done it to my parents' house. It would have been funny, but they don't have it in San Antonio, at least not that I could find. So, but it was an interesting concept. So I felt the need to share it. So whoever's listening, if you want to do that as a fundraiser for one of your kids on whatever extracurricular activity that they're in or the school or whatever, you should suggest that because it was fabulous, inexpensive, wonderful. I will definitely do it again.
Okay, let's talk about this new project that you two have insanely decided to do. And just popped out this week, and I thought, have they lost their freaking mind?
Okay, well, wait
Would
a minute.
You tell everybody about it, and then
hold on. One, it's been in the makings for a little bit, and two, I'm a supportive person in this role and supporting Sandy and the others that are involved in this.
You mean you never learned about Nancy?
I'm not an active like. It wasn't my idea.
You did not learn what Nancy Reagan said 40 years ago. Just say no.
No.
I'm a big believer in the word no.
You guys, when it comes to Miss Sandy, I don't ever say no.
I know.
And I didn't say no to Rita when she came and asked me if I would. You know,
I know. So we're both terrible at saying no to things. But
well we're going to have a seminar next month when I'm back in town. And you two are going to be there.
We are going to discuss the
psychological benefits of the word no.
You know, I think when that seminar is going on, I'm just out of town. I think that's when I'm out of town and I just can't make it. I just can't make it.
And but Russell, I do understand. You know, that would have been great for me to learn years ago. You know, at my age now, it's too late. I'm good at saying yes and helping out. So,
okay. And well, Sandy, tell us all about your latest venture that you and Rita are going into.
Don't say yours and you're not in the middle of it.
That's true, Amy.
You are so in the middle of this. And you know,
I'm not an active middle person. I'm a supportive person.
It's like the 12 days of Christmas you do. First, Sandy gets this great idea. Then she reels you in. Then after she reels you in, you're tied up by the string and you're in the middle of it.
I morphed the 12 days into something very different. I continued the legacy, but it's handled a little bit different.
Well, that's because you're anal concentrated.
I am. You start
doing something and you dwell on it.
Russell, we're not supposed to talk about my toxic traits, okay? We can't talk about them.
We talk about them all the time. That's why I always
say,
poor
Josh. Fabulous. Poor Josh. I'm quite proud of them.
I used to say poor David, and I still think it.
You think it though, for sure. No, I truly am a supportive role in this. So this is primarily Sandy and Rita's baby and their thing. Dina and I are helping them implement certain things, but it's 100% their baby. We're just supportive.
I so wish Dina was on the show today. She would so be in my side. This is so fun.
No, she's what, but we are just supportive contributors to it, but it's not our idea. We're not spearheading it. We're just helping this idea get off the ground in a supportive manner. It is Sandy and Rita's baby and idea.
One more thing, and then we need to get into introducing it, is for everyone listening, the way we're going at each other, we were doing this for 30 minutes before the show even started, texting back and forth as far as this or that. This is
Amy,
who we are.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Russell, but Amy, will you go ahead and start talking about it? I'm wanted in the kitchen where the paint is working. So I'll be right back.
Okay. So, yet again, I'm supportive on this venture.
As I said, you are already being pulled in like a fish on a line.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Anyways, so let me share my screen. So, Sandy and Rita have decided to venture into this Fire Book Awards. Okay. So what it is a book awards for independent and small press authors to submit their books, and you will get a review, a critique. It's a normal book award for independent and small press authors. There is also a, it's like a legacy award, which goes on for up to 5 years for your book after you have 5 years ago in which your book was published that you can submit for a legacy award. It's called something different, but it's like a legacy. The word is escaping me at the moment because, like I said, I'm a supportive person. But the book awards is going to be kicking off. It is going to be you can submit your books last year and this year up to a certain extent that you can submit your books for the award. You will win a cash prize as long also with free marketing and publicity for X amount of time. Sandy knows more about those details, but this is getting up off the ground. We are about to open for submission. So make sure that you want to run over and check it out. Like I said, Dina and I are involved in a supportive manner to help this function grow and get off the ground, but it is a new book awards that is coming. So it is coming very soon. So make sure that you tune in to it.
Okay. What is the purpose of the new awards? What's their founding reason to do it?
So it's really to help highlight and give independent or self-published authors and small press authors a leg to stand on at with a book award that is, in our eyes, going to be more fair and prestigious. It's not a popularity contest by any means. We have our own judges that will be judging your books. You don't have to have it go on social media for voting or anything like that. So it's taking the popularity contest out of it.
See, that's good because that's just a cornpone trick in the industry to get people to sign on to your email list. That's what it really is usually.
Yeah.
So this is like authentic.
Yeah. And so it's more going to be along the lines, because if any of you guys listening, watching now, later, whenever, right? If you enter for a book award, you generally kind of know there's loopholes. There's always loopholes with it. And when it becomes a popularity contest, so a bigger small press that you have can leverage all of their authors to vote for X amount of author that has made it into the awards. So we removed all of that. So we have hired our own judges that will do X, Y, and Z genres. We have our own critique in what we're going to do. So we will need an ebook and a physical copy because we will be judging based on your cover design, your interior layout, the overall flow. And then on top of that, we will have our other judges, because those are different judges. We'll have other judges that are actually going to read your book and critique your book and score it. And then when it comes, if there's a tie and who gets first place, second place, then we're going to have all the judges read those books that have been optioned for it. And then we'll go from there. So there's no popularity contest or anything like that. It's more going to be people in which we've brought in to judge the books and make sure that whoever is winning is not just because of their following or X, Y, and Z. It's generally because their book and the quality that they put out was worthy of it. So that's generally kind of how it's going to go.
So who are you getting to be the judges? I mean, I'm not talking about names. I'm not interested in names. But what are some of the parameters of who you're getting to be as judges so the authors know?
Other authors, experienced authors, teachers, librarians,
editors.
I'm sorry, Amy.
Let's not include editors in it.
There's some editors in there on top of just some reviewers as well. So it's a wide array. It's not like we just went to other authors that we knew personally and was like, hey, can you judge these? Because that would be seen as biased. So I personally do not know most of the judges personally. So it's not an abundantly social, just went and got all these people. It's not anything like that. We put out a call for them and then we screened them after they filled out the form and we moved forward with X, Y, and Z number of them. So we tried to make it as fair and non-biased as possible.
So what help do you think that this would get someone that, so is there going to be a first, second, and third honorable mention? What is there going to be?
There will be a first, second, and third, or gold, silver, and bronze is what it will be called. And that will be the beginning. So each one of them will get their award. That's all spelled out on the website. The website is firebookawards.com. And all the instructions in there, all the links to wherever you need to go, everything's there on that website. And so everybody will get to the bronze, silver, and gold, all that. And then from there, we go into this online voting, where we'll be similar to the music shows and the dance shows and everything you see on television, where if you have an author that was a gold winner, so they first have to make it to gold, and then the gold will compete for the top prize. And that will be done through voting on, you know, just to call in vote kind of thing. And we've got that. And then there's just all kind of other things planned, because Rita and I both talked about it. And there are some other awards for books. We know that. And they're great. There's some really good ones. But we wanted to give like an extra boost to it. So from the Fire Book Awards, when the fire's dimming down, then you have the embers. So we have the Ember Awards for books that are up to 5 years published. So the main Potter Book Awards will be for 2024 published books, beginning to 2024. And then that 5 years to 2019, one winner from each category will be an Ember Award. And then one of the things was we're continuing this fire story, and fire was introduced by one of the Greek gods, and I don't remember which one it was, Amy.
Prometheus.
So as that is introduced, then out of those glowing embers, out rises the horse. And that was, what was his name?
The Phoenix.
Phoenix, yes, sorry. My mind's blank. Anyway, out of that, and so we will be having that award, and we're going to do like authors or publishers, anyone that's been in the publishing industry that's contributed to it will be eligible to be nominated. This will not be a vote, this will be nominated. And then we will decide which one will be for the icon. The icon of publishing will be, we'll have one each year that we do that. So we're just very excited about all the possibilities, because the more we do, the more we think to do, things we could do that would help authors. And the big thing is, this is all to help authors sell their books.
Right, it's a market. It's to help them in marketing, right?
Yes. So, one of the things we'll be doing is marketing them along the way, and then we'll be helping them with a press release. Each gold winner will get a press release written specifically for them and given to them that they can send out. So, just all kind of marketing things we have, and all of that, all of it, is spelled out on the website, and that again is Fire Book Awards. wordsplural.com.
Okay, so is there any geographical limitation to the authors that are trying to?
Okay, international.
And when is the first submissions due?
The early bird submissions, which is cost less, so there is an entry fee.
How much is it?
Make money. So the entry fee is lower, and the first deadline will be May 31st. And then after that, the price goes up a little bit, and the deadline will be then at the end of the year.
So your submission fee is going to be like fiction and nonfiction, but it's going to be $65 and then $30 for each additional category if you want to do that. That's going to be your early bird pricing for it, because I haven't pulled up.
How many genres is there?
Oh, man. Okay. Oh, he's gone. Okay. Welcome back. I want to say that there is
about 30, I think.
I was going to say close to 28.
Okay.
28 sounds.
So this is not limited to just one or two authors getting the benefit for marketing, but there's going to be a lot of authors that have good books that win one of these awards that then they can turn around and use in the marketing. And I can tell you, I would know exactly how to use it, because I can imagine paying a few pennies to have Amazon put that up when someone's looking at my book.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine that this could be very beneficial if you have any experience, or you get on the internet and you learn how to market your own book,
yep,
which we all have to do.
Yes.
Which is the most challenging thing for any author, no matter whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, it is very difficult to market your own book. So that's where we want to come in and be the marketing arm, or a piece of the marketing arm for each one of the books, to help each author get recognition. Even if you don't win, you get recognition for being in the competition, for having someone read your book and judge it. And it's just a win-win for the author. And it's a win for us because we get to get back to work and help authors. And that's always been my desire the whole time I was in business, was how to help authors sell their books. So how to help them tell their story.
Why did you decide to do this, Sandy? I mean, I thought you were retired. Why did you decide to do this?
I was a little bored.
I understand. I expected that answer. We thought you were.
I mean, I love watching television with my husband, but we don't like to watch the same things. No. So I couldn't watch any more Smithsonian stories or Nat Geo and all these words, terms I wasn't even familiar with.
I think I want to find out what David watches. I think I would like those shows.
You know, Russell, I'm 100% sure you would. I'll be happy to send you the list. I always kid him, though, because he likes to watch different shows, and I tell him, your favorite show is The Guide, because I see you looking at The Guide more than anything else.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to say things like that about your poor husband. So
my poor husband.
Now, this is very exciting, and those people that have been working on their book for a while, mm-hmm. you've given them a long enough time that even if they can't make the early bird, they can finish their book. If they've been working on it and they're listening to this, they can get an editor. And I know that's scary, but I can tell you, you can find editors. They're hated people, so they're always looking for friends. But there's a lot of editors.
They're only hated by Russell. You will have a love-hate relationship, but they're only hated. By Russell.
But there are a lot out there. If you could find, you'll have enough time to find the right one, get a good edit, because you cannot either publish your book or submit it without a good edit, trust me. And then get the book to you in time for the end of the year, right?
Yeah. Right.
So it's great. And you can use this, even if you do the marketing yourself. And I can tell you, everyone has to market themselves. If you're with the top 5 publishers in America, you're an author, unless you're like 12 of them, you have to do most of the promotion yourself. And to have an award is an important part of the whole Amazon selling process of when readers are on looking for books to buy. If they see a book popped up and it has a bronze, silver, or gold emblem on the side saying that it's won something, there's a percentage more likelihood that they're going to poke that and say, what is going on with that book?
Yeah.
And that's the hardest, you know, there's a million books out there. There's so many books that the books are invisible. So to find the readers that might be interested in your book is the challenge. So it's one more step in achieving that challenge.
Yep, absolutely. That's perfectly said, Russell. I appreciate that. And if you have any questions, on the website, there is an email address and a phone number. Feel free to call us. Call me. My number is 281-989-8892. So feel free to call me and ask any questions. We'd love to have you know more about it if you're interested.
I do have a question. Where does their book need to be in time for submission to the contest? Do they need to have downloaded it on Amazon already? Because Amy did say you needed an email copy.
It needs to be published.
So they got to get it on Amazon before the last day of the year, right?
Well, it can't be in pre-order status. So just to clarify that, you can put it up on Amazon in a pre-order status. It needs to be published where if we promote it and say that you're a winner and we promote it, people need to be able to go and buy it, not pre-order it. So it has to be published. It can't be in pre-order.
Okay, I have a question about that too.
Yeah.
Is it the authors, right? Listening. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that, so how long is a pre-order status? I mean, it has to be on probably about 30 days before the end of the year.
Well, so if it's in pre-orders standing, right, then if you're doing it only on Amazon, Amazon will only let you do it 90 days. Or it's 90, it's 60 or 90 days. I'm pretty sure it's 90 days is what your pre-order if you're only doing it on Amazon. If you're going through KDP or on Ingram, it can be as long as you want it to be.
So you're going to have to
publish.
So you're going to have to cut your time on pre-order short.
You're going to have your book course. Published and available to buy by the end of the year.
Okay, yeah. January 1.
You can't have that. Yeah, so you can't have your book in pre-order status when you submit to us. It has to be published.
So if I'm an author and I have a manuscript that's close, mm-hmm. I can finish that, get it edited. I've got to download it. If I'm going to independently publish it on Amazon and I need to do it 30, 60 days before, cut my date off and have it published right before the end of the year, right?
You can do that. I would suggest that you submit next year just because you don't want to forfeit quality to get it in this year. So if you are one of those and you're thinking about it, right, you don't want to sacrifice quality to make it within submission windows. If you miss submission windows and you miss it, focus on the quality of your book, right? Because that's what we're going to be looking at and the judges are going to be looking at, and you want to make sure that the quality is there. So don't rush it to make submission windows. If your book's not going to come out until like November and it's still in editing phases, then you should just submit next year just because your book is not going to be available to buy if it's not already in ARC format and ready to go and being distributed for editorial reviews, right? So that would be my recommendation.
So a February 1 published day, because you did your whole full pre-order thing and you made sure it was right, it will still qualify for next year. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what's the timeline between the end of submission and when the first medals are issued? And the authors want to know that so they can use it in promotion.
Okay, I'm looking at the website now, and the early bird submission is, as we said, May 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And the $65 fee or 30s for any additional category. So you pick one, like let's say you have a cozy mystery. And so you pick mystery as your category, and that's will be $65. But if there's other categories, like if there's some romance in there or some other aspects of making it kind of part of another genre, then you can submit to different submission
categories.
Different categories. And that deadline is not the end of the year. It's September 30th. Because then the rest of the year will be putting everything together, doing the judging, making the announcement, doing the Icon Award, planning a big event that would recognize this iconic figure in publishing. And we've got several. So if you're listening now and there's someone that's been really big in the publishing industry and you want to recommend them, nominate them, then send us some information on them with why you want them to be, or why you think they deserve to be the icon. We've already got a couple. John Kramer is one of our people that has helped Rita and I from day one. Just always been available. So he's one of the ones that we plan to nominate. But there's others, plenty of others. So if you have someone that's been a real help to you in your publishing adventures, then, of course, send us the nomination. So the deadline will be postmarked by September 30th, and then that fee is $75, so it goes up, and $50 for each other category. So it's if you can get it in on the early bird, so if it's published in 2024 and it's published now, or you published it last year and put a 2024 date on it, because a lot of people do, so it's got a current publishing date, then go ahead and start submitting them now. And the form, everything, is on the website.
You muted yourself.
But my question is, So when would they first hear about the first medals? So they
between
could use
January them? And March. Is
oh,
when
so it'll be almost instantly.
Out.
Some of
oh them? Yes, it'll be yes, it'll be in January. Is the date that we have planned for that? But I don't see that date.
Is that the end date for submissions is September 30th, and so that gives us November. October, November, and December to go through them and to judge them. And then we'll be making the announcement. It's between the end of January and the beginning of February. And that gives us time to get our trophies in and everything like that. But to make sure that if there is like a runoff and stuff, that we have the time to allocate to make sure that it gets done fairly. So it's not going to be like a 6-month wait like the Ben Franklin right. Awards. Okay. Cause that, oh man, those drive me bonkers. I love them dearly and they are fabulous, but the wait time for me is just agonizing. So it is a quicker turnaround.
So September is our cutoff date.
September 30th is your cutoff date. Your cutoff date for early submission is May 31st to get the $65 and then the $30 for each 3 additional categories. When you do your final submission, which is the end of September, your entry fee goes up to $75 and then it's $50 for each 3 additional categories.
And the gold, silver, and bronze winners will be announced on December 1st, 2024. So
at the end of the year.
And that will give us time then to take those gold winners and have the actual, you know, internet voting for the one that will end up being the grand winner. I think that has a name for that, but I don't remember. I'm looking at the website. So anyway, that will be, and then from December 15th to the 30th is when there will be the online voting for the book that you think deserves to be the number one book published independently in 2024.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And I'm getting all this from I'm getting all this refresher dates from the website. So, and I've mentioned it a lot, but that's the best place to go get the information.
And tell us one more time the website.
Fire Book Awards with an S.com.
Okay.
It's in the comment section down below, and I'll put it when we upload it to our podcast channels. It'll be in the description for you.
And I did put it on my Facebook page over the weekend, and I've already gotten lots of responses from it. I was so excited to hear from David Zalon. So he's very interested, even though his books were all published in 2023. So, but anyway, so great. Russell, besides being bored and besides wanting to get back in and spend time with Amy and all the stuff, I'm so proud of her. It's also just the connections that I made while I was working with authors and getting back to those connections. And, you know, this is, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
So are you going to do a press release and send it to the different guilds, like the Houston Guild, so they can tell their writers? Atlanta has it's amazing. Georgia has like 15 writers guilds, and they have conferences starting right now. There's probably a conference every week in Georgia. It's crazy over here. And it would be
yes,
great.
Yes, I'd be happy to. And Russell, if there's somebody in Atlanta you'd like me to send the press release to, that could get the word out to some of these groups, or if there's a way I could get a list of the groups, I'd be happy to send every one of them a copy of the press release.
Well, I'll do that. I know just the two people that are hyperactive in the Georgia author market.
Very good. Very good.
We've actually had them on this show, both the husband and the wife.
I know. I follow them. They're like all over the place. I love them.
I know. Those people work. I've never seen authors that work to promote both their work, their spouse's work, and all the other authors in their group's work. These are workers. So I will be glad to connect you up with them.
Very good. Thank you, Russell.
And I think people from all over the country should reach out to the website, check it out, and submit. You have nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't get an emblem, you don't get an emblem. But if you do, you can use it on your promotion that almost all authors, it's pennies to do some of these promotions. And this would be a great hook. You wouldn't have to actually pay as much on each individual penny promotion if you have an emblem, because that would be your hook to attract multiple readers on Amazon.
Yep.
As you can tell, that's exactly what I'm thinking right now.
Yes.
I get you. I like it. I like it. But yes, that's Sandy's latest adventure that we are all partying with her on. We're all...
Well, we aren't. I didn't know about it till 30 seconds ago.
Because we just announced it. We've been going back and forth.
This is it. This is the announcement. So I just sent out the press release this week.
They've been hanging out with me and Dina. You know me and Dina get together on Thursdays. They've been coming and partying with us.
Oh, poor Dina. I hope you do that in the afternoon and not early in the morning.
We do. We do it at 1. It usually goes on for like, me and Dina are usually on from like 1 to 3. Mm. So we get our vent and all of our work figured out.
I know we're closing, but I just want you, I know you agree with me that how proud we are of Amy and the way, I mean, honestly, when I listen to her in these meetings, I'm like, oh my God. She does an amazing job. She's just wonderful.
So, she's not as sweet as she used to be. She's like in that. Remember Steel Magnolias?
Yes.
Remember when, in the end, the caustic character that said, they're like, you should, the old little man, they hook her up with the old man from her high school days, and he says, you look so good. And she said, I'm not as sweet as I used to be. That's Amy.
Oh, but I look really sweet. Just don't talk to me.
And by the way, I say that as a compliment, not as a criticism.
I know. That's because me and you think a lot alike. So I was like, oh, this was complimenting me. No, I'm sick of it.
I'm not going to say another compliment.
Good. I don't want to hear it.
You should have never capitulated to your daughter. That's all I have to say.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you guys, it's always so much fun when we all get together. And we can just chat and remember the OGs and starting this whole show, which we all know was Russell's idea and Sandy helped implement it. And now it is what it is.
Sandy thought I was crazy when I wanted to do this.
It was fabulous, though. Look at what it's turned into. It's been so much fun.
I didn't know then that if you have an idea, latch on to it.
I always had good ideas for you to do.
Yeah, that's true. It always involved work for me.
Yeah. And now you've done that to Amy. You always have good ideas for Amy to do now.
Yeah. It's okay. We get them done.
It rolls downhill.
For sure. We all get them done. But you guys, then the month of April, make sure that you check us out and join us live on Monday mornings. One, I have a book launch happening next Tuesday, so you're not going to want to miss next week's episode. But I have exciting news and two different ventures that Abundantly Social has branched out into. So you want to make sure that you tune into them because they're all about helping authors, helping indie and small press authors, and keeping some other legacies going. So make sure that you join in, tune in, see what's happening. Some amazing things are happening within this writing community. So without further ado, you guys, we're going to sign off this Monday morning. So we all hope that you have a fantastic Monday. Great rest of your week, and we'll catch you all next Monday. Bye for now, everybody.
Bye.